At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor. We're your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. G-Dad, how's it going?
Beautiful sunny day in St. Augustine. A little bit of a chill out in the air, 75 degrees. Got a cold front moving through, Stenzi. How you doing?
Hey, we got the same thing going on up here in Tennessee, man. We're just living the dream. Beautiful weather, beautiful economic climate. You know how we're doing it. You know exactly what's going on here. So Gino, we recently exited a property. And this was based on values-based decision-making. What's going on with that? We don't like to sell stuff. What's going on here?
Jake, this is a challenging one for us because in the beginning, when I first met you, if I had said to you, Jake, we're getting together because of values-based decision-making, you'd be like, are you an idiot? What are you even talking about? But this is the crux of life, everybody. Every decision that I look back on investing-wise that I've made or any decision personally in life that I've made, that I've made a mistake on or I've gone off the rails is because I never really flushed out our values. Now, as everyone's listening to this, just close your eyes real quick for me. You too, Stenzi. What are your values? Have you ever stopped and thought about what your values are? I can't tell you what your values are. You need to understand what your values are. And once you got a big grasp of what they are, let's start living by them. Haven't had you paint the picture yet. You cheated. You opened your eyes. You know what your values
Hold
are.
Hold it.
We have our core values fleshed out. People first. Make it happen. Growth mindset. Unwavering ethics. Extreme ownership. Now, if our Jake and Gino company, our Rand family of companies deviate from that core values, what happens? We don't live in alignment. We don't feel good. If we're working with a vendor who doesn't align with those core values, it's not going to be the right relationship with us. And we're going to suffer long-term. In the short term, there's pain. But as a 100-year real estate investor, having a long-term mindset, we're always looking out to the long-term. Don't look at the short-term pain. And that's where I made my mistake when I was working at the restaurant. I made decisions based on how things were going to work in the next 2 weeks, not in the next 2, 3, 5 years. I wasn't living in alignment with my values because I didn't know what they were. I fleshed my values out totally now. I'll give you a couple examples of where I went off the rails. In 2005, a lot of you heard, I invest with a gentleman named Maserati Mike. It wasn't that the deal was bad, is that the partnership was bad. I wasn't aligning with my values. That partnership blew up. I bought a property in New York a couple of years after that. Same kind of thing. That deal and that market and what was going on there, it did not align with my core values. Fast forward, I meet Jake. We do our first deal. Everything feels great. Our values are aligned. We're on the same page. We want long-term generational wealth. We want to refi and roll these properties. We want to hold for the long-term. There's no self-storage. There's no mobile home parks. There's no RVs. It's multifamily. Let's learn about it. And then obviously, here's the book, Complementary Streams of Revenue. You can start branching off, but we had the same values. We had the same vision, and values-based decision-making will set you on your path. And you need those values to be a 100-year real estate investor. If you don't have them, there's nothing to fall back upon. And then you'll start wavering. Another example, a couple of years ago, I got together with a couple of gentlemen down here. They were called the Dream Team. The model was perfect. If I'd stuck with the model, we'd be making money right now. But our core values were not in alignment with those gentlemen. The partnership blew up. What was wrong with that partnership? The core values didn't align. Our main message, our long-term thought process didn't align, and it blew up.
If you haven't written out your core values yet, or you're not aware exactly what they are, I think you can look back, you know, just take a second and look back in time. Where have you made mistakes?
Yes.
Think about what Gino said. Where have you made mistakes? And you probably knew it at the time in your gut that something was off and you went with it anyways. I challenge everyone out there to really sit on this and think about it. Go back in time, reevaluate the major mistakes that you've made in your life, and try to really understand if those relationships, those deals, whatever it may have been, were in alignment with your values.
Jake, I just read a book this past weekend. I'm late to the table sometimes, late to the game. Everyone's recommending the book, The Alchemist. He has 65,000 dude, that's like five stars.
So 2010, bro.
Unless I'm a little slow sometimes. Like I read Richest Man. I wrote The Honeybee. I write parables. I read all of Sharon Lecter's books. I never read The Alchemist. Don't know why. But for some reason, I was in Target trying to spend my $30, left with $250. You can never do that. The Alchemist is sitting there. I pick it up and I read it this weekend. And that's why
Divine intervention right there.
Right. I wanted to do this podcast with you. And that's why it got me prepared.
You know, I told you about that book a long time ago.
I know, but
it hit the subconscious and finally came out.
And that's why we're doing the podcast, because Santiago is a shepherd in the book. He's looking towards his personal legend. That's what it's all about, going towards our personal legends, what we're made to do. And I reflected back upon my life, all these mistakes that I've made. Well, why did I make them? I veered off of my personal legend and I veered off of what my values were. And it's amazing. Like I told you, the 2005, 2007 property, 2016 relationship. And I almost made another one. I almost got into a company called pot.com. It's not that the company's good or bad. It just didn't align with my values. I don't like pot as a medicinal. Medicinal is one thing, but I don't like it as recreational. I've got children. How could it be for me walking around with a pot.com hat promoting the use of marijuana?
I think your wife might beat you, though.
Well, that's another one. I don't want to see her. But that didn't align with my values. So every time I look at an investment now, does it align with my values? And that one did not. And I said no to that one. They may make tons of money, but there's so many opportunities out there. And you know what? If I did make money with that venture, I still wouldn't be feel good. It still wouldn't be going towards my personal legend when I'm trying to promote myself as a great father, as a person. You don't need those substances in your body. Ultimately, we all have our own personal choices. It's just how I feel about it. And if I made money with that venture, it wouldn't be aligned with my core values. And ultimately, I wouldn't feel good about the situation.
So we started off the conversation discussing the property we just left in Louisville, Kentucky. And ultimately, we got in. It was back in 2018. We bought the asset. Absolutely love the asset. Two bedrooms, brick, workforce housing next to a ton of jobs. Okay, that's what we want. Let's be very clear. That's right down the fairway. We bought it at $45 a door. Life is good. We're loving it. Over time, there's a few things that took place that really did not sit well with me. I'm a freedom lover. I believe in individual liberty, individual rights. And you know, a lot of things started happening over these last couple of years that just did not sit well with me. The first one that really stung was, there's two that really frustrated me. One was we were all of a sudden mandated to take Section 8 housing. Now, that's not something that's in our business model. It's not something we do. We want to be, you know, the Chick-fil-A of apartments. We have a Blue Ocean strategy to provide, you know, high-level customer service. And basically, you know, we do background checks. We make sure that folks that are coming in have, you know, clean records, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. I don't like to be mandated on, you know, taking something because this is what, you know, some governor or some city, you know, guy thinks is best and forces it upon me. I don't like to be mandated to do that. Right back to back, 1-2 punch, the whole COVID things out there, the CDC, you know, puts out that you can't evict people. There's an eviction moratorium. Well, not all states are created equal. We operate in other states where the Supreme Court has stepped in for the state and rejected that. Okay. So they're protecting the businesses. Okay. Because you want to talk about one of our, you know, core values, unwavering ethics. How is it ethical for us to sacrifice ourselves for, you know, people out there that are basically going to game the system and not pay rent? Okay. Let's be clear on the facts for a second. Savings rate in the United States during COVID was at an all-time high, 27%. It's typically 7%. And so you see this huge flush of cash and the government's doling out money to pay for rent. But if they don't pay, we can't evict them. What the hell kind of sense does that make? Okay. People are flush with cash, but you tell them that you don't have to pay rent. So what all that support is Target, Amazon selling more flat screen TVs. It's not doing the right thing. So that really bothered me. And then throughout the, you know, 2020, 2021, we saw this increase in crime. And I'm sitting there saying to Gino, this doesn't feel good anymore. I don't like what I see happening there. I don't want to be part of a local government that is imposing these types of, you know, restrictions upon us. We're doing everything we can to make the place, you know, high level customer service, safe, clean, and affordable, but our rights are being stripped. Mm-hmm. So at a certain point we got together and we said, look, this is no longer in alignment with our values. market's at a good point. We were in at 5.9 million. We ended up selling it for 10. So we're able to, you know, do well there and also wash our hands of an unhealthy relationship between our business and that local area.
Wow. So that's
the crux of it.
There's a couple of things that I can say there. The first thing Jake said to me was, man, this really chaps my ass. Those are Stenziano's words because he likes to say chapped my ass. And you know what? It chapped my ass too, because the CDC is an unelected body. How are they making these laws and mandating these laws? We've never had
and
that
the
discussion.
State did not have to hold it up.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And in Tennessee and in Kentucky, people are working. They didn't shut down. There's jobs out there. The second thing with Louisville, they're holding on to the money. There's a ton of money in these county governments that they're not, you know, letting forth. They're not sending it out to the businesses and to the landlords.
Yeah, there's still like 85 or 90% of these funds that were allocated are just sitting there. And they can't process them. It's taking months and months to process this.
That's the problem. We had such a demand for our rentals that we couldn't get people in there because we couldn't get people out of there. So what is it? The people that are sitting there don't have jobs, but the people that want to get in do have jobs. There's something that's really in misalignment there. The other thing is we had a fiduciary responsibility to our investors. And for us, that's not our business model. We don't work with Section 8 housing. It's a different model. There's more paperwork. There's more processing. It's not market rate. It's a different model. And we weren't ready for that. We're not ready to do that on one property in one market when that's not our business model. So our fiduciary responsibility was to sell for investors as well.
Take any housing project in the Bronx or Brooklyn and then take it to a market-based, you know, apartment complex. It's just not the same thing. I did not want to go in that direction. And the other thing, I've heard multiple reports from companies and businesses that own and operate in, say, California right now, where they've been even stricter with this shit, and they have hundreds of thousands, sometimes over $500,000 of delinquency on some of these bigger properties because people are refusing to pay. Because they know they can get away with it. What the hell kind of business is that if you have no property rights? And that's the last thing that I wanted to happen to us. And if they're going in that direction, I'm going the other way.
And maybe a few years ago, Jake, you can discuss this. We may not have made that decision. We may not have been mature enough, or we may not have been wise enough because we were fortunate to partner.
Or maybe not bold enough. Maybe, you know, that's a possibility as well, because it was, you know, we're like so thrilled to just get into deals at the time.
Yes.
Right?
And that's a 100-year mindset. I mean, thank God for the last 2 to 3 years, we've been really working on the mindset, really working long-term. That's where the whole cadence of accountability comes. That's where the whole core values comes. That's
why
where
we
quarterly
could be
planning
there
is.
Because
yes.
We want to hold this for the long-term. And if there's going to be that disalignment of values, it's going to continue to be frustrating. It's going to continue to be a problem.
And things aren't going
to
get better.
They're not going to keep going in the wrong direction.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. Once the government puts a tax or imposes a tax, 98% of the time, that tax is not going away. They say it's temporary. It is not a temporary tax. No. That's why we don't want the government involved.
Yeah, 100%. And so, you know, we were talking about this a little bit because it's not the first time that you and I have both made decisions like this. It's the first time we've literally pulled out. We're still in Lexington, right? They've been better on crime, and they have not mandated Section 8. So it was basically one strike versus two. So we're still staying in that Lexington market because they still, you know, we're under that CDC crap. But you know, you go back to 2010. I was looking around, similar type of moment for myself because look, we had some great assets in Louisville. It's sad to see them go, but you know, it feels better now that they're out of there. And in 2010, I was like, look, you know, I know Gino, he was paying $30,000 a year in property taxes.
How much?
Renting it apart, $30,000. That was your
everybody.
Property tax.
Let me rip it down for you real quick. I was paying $30,000 in property taxes for a house that was valued at between $850 and $1 million. I moved down to Florida. I'm paying half that, and my house is worth double. And I'm 300 feet from the ocean. And by the way, no state income tax.
Nice little bonus. Nice little bonus, right?
No state income tax. And public schools are the same. The fact that I homeschool, I lose either way. But the public schools are the same.
You're not losing.
The quality of life, the weather. The fact that when our governor up in New York said conservative values aren't upheld, we don't want conservative values in New York, he's excluding me out of that conversation. That's when I said to myself, I need to get out of here because it's only going to get worse. Unemployment insurance. I was running the business there. I mean, workman's comp, everything was so burdensome. Health insurance, all of these expenses. When I moved down here, my expense load went in half. Now, there's cons, obviously. My identity was tied to New York. I was the pizza guy. I love New York. I was born, raised there. My entire family's there. Extended family, the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. I mean, all those groups are there. So it was painful to make that decision. But I know if I didn't make that pain in the short term, we moved down here. I've got six kids. We're alone for a few months. We didn't know anybody. And if I didn't
get a family of eight, you're never alone.
But I love Jake's decision is even tougher than mine because he's a young guy. He's all by himself. He's got a fiance. He has the courage to pick up, leave, go down, rent an apartment by himself for 6 months, all by himself down there doing the job. And that is courage. But you know what? That is values-based decision-making.
Best decision I ever made in my life, though, Gino. And, mm-hmm. and here's the thing. It wasn't on a whim, okay? I ranked the states, okay? Just like everyone, and this is what I like to say. You sit there on Amazon all day, scrolling, looking at reviews, shopping. We have a federalist system here. Shop the states the same way, okay? Put dollars to stuff that you support, okay? Look, you can have a New York model, or you can have a Texas model, okay? And there's everything in between, okay? And I'm not saying one is right or wrong. It's based on your values. That's what we're saying, gang. Pick and choose someplace that's going to align with the ideas that you like, the outcomes that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. You can pretty much get the whole spectrum in the United States. You want Marxism, you can go to states that have Marxism. You want liberty, you can go to states that have liberty, everything in between. So look for what you align with. And all I did was I ranked the states on a few things that mattered to me, okay? I wanted a better climate. And I joke about this. Better economic climate, better weather, okay? And when I looked at some of the states, I said, look, no state income tax, I'm going to pick up a huge amount of money right there. Boom, I want no state income tax. Lower property taxes, moved to Tennessee. Gino was paying, I was renting at the time, but I knew I wanted to buy a house. He's paying 30. When I moved, I had a beautiful, the first house I got down here had a movie theater, had a pool. It was 4,000
feet. Koi pond going on.
Koi pond, beautiful landscaping. Dude, my taxes were like $3,000 in that house at the time. It was two or three.
$2,500.
Something nuts. So this is the point that I'm making. I would have never been able to afford that house in New York. I come down here and I'm like, whoa, man, cribs? Is this like cribs or what? What the hell's going on?
I remember that house because I stayed in that house a few times. I was like, dude, I remember it was $399 or $400.
Dude, I paid $399.
I remember that. And it was just like, you've got, it was an amazing
great house. School district. It was fantastic. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Jake.
Yeah.
Your fiance at the time, did she really give you pushback? Because I never really discussed that with you.
No, dude. She was thinking like, okay, so I can get pesky, right? Where I'll nibble on you. So like it's a pain in the ass to do a deal with me, right? So I nibbled on that nibble technique, they call it, but I kind of dropped it, right? Dropped the line out there. Hey, what do you think about this? No, that's crazy. No, what are you talking about? I was patient. I brought it up again. Hey, what do you think about this? No. And then I found a lateral transfer from the pharmaceutical company I was working with. And I said, look at this. And then look at how much more money we're going to make. And look at the weather. I said, let's go visit. Hey, how about a vacation? Mm-hmm. So she's like, is this a trap? Right. So she takes the vacation anyways. We had a good time.
She takes the bait.
So what I was strategic about it. I said, let's go down and do a vacation. Went down a couple times. And then I started incorporating her on the interview process. Hey, babe, I need some practice with these interview questions. And that, so it was a slow nibble. And I said, look, what's the worst thing can happen? We end up moving back. We end up coming back. I said, let me go first. Okay. You continue doing it. We'll try it out. If it seems to make sense, then we'll give it a shot. We're young. We can move back and have, you know, anything going on. So I was able to anchor ourselves down here and it was a painful 6 months. Like I didn't realize, I never really lived by myself and, it just got a little weird. I just worked and worked and worked because I got to stay busy. And so it was definitely challenging, but, we got through it.
So Jake is the young compadre in this story. I'm the older compadre in this story.
And they both worked great.
Yes. It's February of 2014. We have the cyclone photo, polar bomb, polar vortex, whatever you want to call it.
Stupid names these people come up with too.
Like I'm sitting in the kitchen with the blow dryer trying to thaw the pipes in the restaurant. And I'm in the grease. I'm in the slop. And I'm saying to myself, what the hell am I doing here? It's 6 degrees for 2 weeks straight. And that's when I lost it. I'm wearing long johns. I'm like, Jewel, can you help me out here? I can't live here anymore. What does it look like? And at the time, we had 5 kids and my wife was pregnant with the 6th. So for all of you out there saying, I can't do it. I got too many family members. I got too many kids. your happiness with your spouse is the most important thing, because I was miserable at the time. I didn't see a way out. I couldn't afford what I had. I was making decent money and I still couldn't afford the luxuries. Going on a vacation was difficult for me. I was trying to save for the future. I didn't see a way out. So when we started buying properties in Knoxville, I said, you know what? How about I go to Florida and in the Jacksonville, St. Augustine area, I'll expand the portfolio. So I did what Jake did. We went down for vacation. We loved it. When I left the restaurant, I came down to St. Augustine and Ponte Vedra for 3 months, stayed in vacation here. Then we went back home. The following March, we rented a house in St. Augustine for a month, just making sure that the family liked it. This is what everyone needs to do. And as the person who wants to make this move, paint the picture for your significant other. My wife was financially free August 30th, 1998. She hasn't worried about money since then. And that's wonderful. That's what my responsibility is. So when I tell her I want to be financially free, she doesn't know what that means. But when I say to her, hey, how about flying down your family? How about paying for this? Oh, the light bulb goes off. I couldn't do that when I was at the restaurant. I was able to do that when I came down to Florida, cut my expenses, started living frugally. And then all of a sudden the snowball with multifamily really started accelerating. So paint the picture for your significant other, show them the pain. My wife saw the pain in my face. Every time I came home, I was cold. I was frustrated. I was working too hard, not making enough, not living my personal legend. And she took a chance on me. We sold the house. And then actually my wife is this amazing. She said, you know what? We'll move down to Florida. If it doesn't work, we'll move back up to New York. We'll move in with your mother. Boom shakalaka. That's all I needed to hear. Because if she wants to move in with my mom, because it means, and that's what it is. I had six kids and everyone's like, how could you do it with six kids? I look back and say, how could I not?
How could you not after all the shit we've been through in the last 2 years? Imagine living in New York through COVID. Ooh.
So Jake, my whole message with that is don't make the excuse. I mean, listen, it is fear. And I was afraid for a while, but you don't work through fear. You need to have clarity of your situation. That's what Jake and I are trying to give you, some clarity here. Give the pros, give the cons. Big shout out to Debbie and Keone, two Jake and Gino students. They just left Hawaii, paradise, lovely, moved to California to pursue their dreams. Everyone thinks they're crazy. You're leaving paradise. But when they read our article on Facebook and on the Jake and Gino site, they said to themselves, this really resonates with me. Because Hawaii is not living with my core values, with what I believe. So they picked up and they left. Huge move, because they had a business there. They have their family there. They have their identity there. But sometimes God wants you to create a new identity. I went from the pizza guy to being this guy's partner, being part of Jake and Gino. We can all do that, everybody. We have the ability, but you need a community and you need values-based decision-making to help you get there.
Two more things. I know we're really long, but I'm having fun, so I don't give a shit. This is our great, show, bro. Right?
I love this.
Hey,
yes.
Hey, I saw a quote from Jordan Peterson today. Face your fears voluntarily. That's the cure.
Yes.
And then underneath that, it said, the world is dangerous. The world is dangerous, excuse me, but you're tougher than you think you are. On that one right there. And I just wanted everyone to know that you can also systematize and make rules, because I'm that weird. So now we don't go to New York anytime that's cold. Okay. We have May to October, which are the acceptable months to visit. And the reason is 2018, we went back up there for Thanksgiving. It ended up being -13 degrees.
It was the coldest
at my grandma's
ever.
House. Yes, okay.
I remember that.
What the hell is this? And then we drive to my wife's parents, who are on the other side of the state, and the fucking navigator blows out a wheel and there's no shoulder on the side of the road. So the thing is, like, semis are whizzing past us and there's nowhere for us to go. And it took an hour for someone to come out and change the tire, because it's got these stupid ass rims on it that you need a special tool for or something. And so I'm like, this is not safe. People shouldn't be living in this. And I grew up in that crap. So anyways, you got to have New York rules too, just to put some guardrails up.
Jake, let me leave this quote for everyone to really digest. I really would challenge everyone to read Stephen Covey's book as well. If you ever read The Alchemist, read it. Stephen Covey's 7 Habits. People see the world as they are, not as it is. Start seeing the world for truly as it is. Because when I was up in New York, I saw it through the lens of New York until I was sitting in that kitchen on my knees with the hairdryer saying, what the hell am I doing here? Then all of a sudden, I saw the world as it truly was. Very important, everybody. Start looking at how everything else is happening in life. You have the power to make those decisions in life. Sometimes we don't think we do. And don't make decisions based just on fear. Because if you make decisions based on fear, you may make the wrong decision. Make those decisions based on your values and make sure you make them with your significant other, with community, with family, and ask their guidance. But ultimately, it's up to you to make that decision, that values-based decision for yourself.
What up, G-Dad? You the man, Big Pumbaa.
Whew. What are we giving away today, Jake? I always love give something away.
No. You got to give the bee away. You got to give the honey bee away because at the end, right? Mm-hmm. What's going on at the end of that one?
You got streams of purpose, bro. That's what it comes
streams
down to.
Of purpose. G-Dad for the win. Wow, we nailed it today. We're out of here. Gino, thank you so much. Gino, Jake, and Gino.com. They'll send you a free copy of the honey bee. We out of here.
Thanks, bros.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.